This is Coach Chris Holtman. You're listening to Drive the Lane Podcast.
Welcome back to Drive the Lane. A lot has happened since we last spoke with everyone. First and foremost, the Buckeyes have played a few basketball games, won a few, lost a few. I think it's just 1-1 since the last time we talked to y'all. We'll get into that. Michigan won the national championship in football since the last time we talked to you. But who cares about that, because Ohio State added some big-time transfer portal players in Will Howard and Quinshon Judkins. If I said it wrong, I'll get it right the next time. Ole Miss running back, Kansas State quarterback. Now they play for Ohio State. Doesn't make a ton of sense, you know, 5 years ago, but we'll get to that. The Browns are in the playoffs, but Joey doesn't care about that. But most importantly, we have locked down our Butcher's Tap live show date and details. Butcher's Tap is the best place to watch football games, and we're trying to prove to everyone out there that it's also the best place to watch Ohio State basketball games. A lot more coming, but it's going to be January 26th. We believe it's going to start around 7:30 to 9, the night before the Northwestern basketball game. We have a great track record over there at Butcher's Tap, and we're hoping this event goes as well as last year. Details on guests coming soon. There's one more thing I forgot to mention, Joey, which is since the last time we talked, Ohio State lost to Mizzou in the Cotton Bowl. Like I said, we'll get to all that. We need to start, and I'm going to flip it to you because I've been talking this whole time. Basketball. Good-ish win over Rutgers. Bad-ish loss against Indiana. Is that a fair way to put it, or would you say differently?
I don't know. I mean, it's just funny you rattling off all that stuff that's happened in the last, you know, week and a half since we recorded is just proving what me and my dad were talking about last night as we watched the Michigan Wolverines win the national championship, is that I am just a dead sports fan. Just totally dead. I mean, Ohio State football, irrelevant now. Michigan's the national champion. Michigan won the championship. Ohio State lost to no-name irrelevant Mizzou in a football game. They have guys transferring left and right. Marvin Harrison's gone. You know, obviously the transfers help, I guess. It's just funny that they announced like right after Michigan won the national championship with Judkins. That was hilarious. But the Bears stink, and the Bears quarterback just so happens to be an Ohio State quarterback and Justin Fields, and he may not be the quarterback anymore. And Ohio State basketball, just when you think that they're turning a corner, you know, maybe was it the greatest win against Rutgers? No, but you take any win, you have to win at home. They weathered the late storm from Rutgers and played a, you know, 33 minutes of great basketball in that game. And then turn around and just drop the fattest egg ever for 25 minutes of the Indiana game. You know, they had stretches of glory in the first half. They started the second half so well. And then you just can't be the so-called best backcourt in the Big Ten and be just so unbelievably, I mean, just bad. They were just bad. I mean, it's like Bruce and Roddy know how I feel about them, how we feel about them, how Buckeye Nation feels about them. We love them. They're awesome. They've been awesome and so steady all year. But Roddy's hitting a rough patch. Bruce finally played, you know, human in a game where we needed him to not be human. He'd been human in other games, but other guys picked up the slack for him. But man, between the two of them, the turnovers, the missed shots, the wide open threes that you just have to make, the Roddy missing floaters and pull-ups, like, and some shots that just weren't even close. Like, shifting focus back to Ohio State basketball, which was what the question was, you know, you're allowed to lose games, right? Like, no one's saying you can't lose games, especially on the road, especially in environments like Indiana, against a team in Indiana that really is whole for the first time with Xavier Johnson, their point guard, being back. But also, they needed to win that game if they had any hopes of going to the NCAA tournament. You know, like, they don't have any good wins yet. So maybe everything was stacked against you, but like, the one thing that you knew going into the game that you could hold your hat on was, we've got a great backcourt. They'll show up no matter what. And man, did they not. But the one thing that a lot of Twitter is saying that I disagree with was that it was like a collapse, which I don't think it was a collapse. A collapse is not a collapse is not getting a million offensive rebounds and incredible open looks every time down the court and missing them. You know, a collapse is when you're turning the ball over 100 times, you look flustered, you can't play defense. Like, that was not the case. I don't feel like it's crazy because I also don't feel like Indiana beat us. I feel like we lost, but like both things can be true. The Penn State loss was an epic collapse where the team had to look themselves in the mirror and be like, what the fuck just happened? But the Indiana loss was not a game where you have to like press the panic button. Like, it was not same story, different game sort of deal. It was much more of got great looks. You played good enough defense to win that game. You played harder and tougher than Indiana did in stretches for most of the game, right? The offensive rebounds, the loose balls, like everything was coming up. Ohio State just had to take care of the ball a little bit better and get the ball in the basket, which they just couldn't do. So, I mean, I know that we've gone back and forth here just spewing, but like the beauty of college basketball is that one loss doesn't define a season. You get to play again a few days later, and tomorrow they play arguably the second best team in the Big Ten at home in Wisconsin, a team that we owe them a loss. And this team's got the right mindset. They're really, really connected. They play really hard, and they're super – they've been so good all year. They'll bounce back. They're playing at home. You know, it's just – Wisconsin's really, really good, but you have to win this game if you have any expectation of being a really good basketball team. This is just a game you just have to win. Would the Indiana win have been awesome? Yes. Would it have been a game where if Ohio State wins that game, you go, huh, we got something legit brewing here? Yeah, absolutely. Does that mean that's not true? No, not necessarily, but you lean one way instead of the other way, and then now it's like, all right, another opportunity tomorrow or today as you're listening to this. In beating a really, really good Wisconsin Badgers team that's well coached and playing as well as any team not named Purdue in the Big Ten. So we shall see.
It's just crazy how you mentioned at the beginning how much has happened in the last 2 weeks. What it makes me think is how quickly things can change. You know, everyone always talks about the 24-hour news cycle. If they beat Wisconsin at home, a team that's really, 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 really good, everyone's going to forget about Indiana until their next loss. Then it'll be like, oh, remember what happened with Indiana? And then the next win, people like us will say, oh yeah, but remember they beat Michigan State. Don't you remember when they beat Wisconsin? You know, so it is funny.
It's a what have you done for me lately sort of deal. Always has been, always will be.
And I do think it's funny also because, you know, beating Indiana on the road versus losing is the difference in this potentially being a top 25 matchup versus, you know, unranked Ohio State at home against Wisconsin, which doesn't matter. I'm just saying it's funny how a few buckets one way or the other changes, you know, stuff like that too.
Yeah. I mean, I think, well, first of all, Ohio State's going to be favored. So it doesn't, who cares if they're ranked or not, they're going to be favored by a point and a half or whatever against Wisconsin. But what I think is so funny is, I won't explain what this term means, but Andrew, you know the internet meme term of edging, obviously. And it sure seems like Ohio State, and I saw this on Twitter, and I'm not going to claim it for myself. I think it was like a response to Ohio State's like main Twitter account about the game. It was like Ohio State basketball has been edging to a top 25 ranking every single week, basically. And then it's just like every time they take two steps forward, they have to take a step back. It's so... oh, it's just driving me crazy. I really do in my heart of hearts put on my Big Ten Network basketball analyst hat, and you can tell me if I'm being biased or not. That game boiled down to missing shots. And that's – it wasn't – like there are games where we play teams and I go, oh, my God, their offense – they're getting layups, open threes. It looks so easy for them. We are shooting contested fadeaway pull-ups and – really hard post-up opportunities, and maybe we're getting bailed out on foul calls, and that's why we're only down 5 instead of down 12, and it's just been so hard. That didn't feel like the last game. It just felt like, you know, Titus is funny. His running bit and his joke is like, you know, you got to make shots to win, and it's true. It was as simple as if Bruce and Roddy make 5 more shots, they're in that game till the end. They were in the game almost until the end. I mean, it's just, it sucks. And that's why if you're Chris Holtmann, I don't think you're upset. Like, you're upset because you don't like losing, but you're not like, oh my God, what do we have with this team anymore? It's like, no, like, what was true is still true. It was a 40% three-point shooting team that made one or two threes in the second half instead of the usual five or six. You know, that, I mean, James Battle came out and made 100 threes to start the game for the fourth game in a row. You know, like, it's just, I don't know. It's a lot to process. I know that also if I have to just look introspectively at myself, I'm in a really, really shitty mood in general because of the way the sports world is happening right now with the Bears and, you know, Ohio State football and Ohio State basketball and Michigan football winning and me literally sitting at this desk that if, you know, I know no one's watching this, but the desk that I'm sitting at right now that Andrew's seeing, I've been staring at a computer all day for the last month. And I don't, and so like, I feel like I'm wanting to be more down than I should be on this team. I think if you look at this game as one game, if they make more shots and they lose by two and they, or they win, it's a completely different conversation and life goes on. It's just so simple as just make more shots and they will make more shots. And I'm so not worried about that. And after every loss, Ohio State basketball fans freak out because that's just what they do. But when they win, they don't say anything. So it's just really tough. It's just always tough. Same story, literally the same story, different week. That's just, it's unreal.
It's also funny because if Ohio State goes 1-1 every week, you know, average of two games a week, if they go 1-1 every week the rest of the season, win a game or two in the Big Ten tournament, they'll be in March Madness. So
absolutely,
fans, they're going to make the tournament unless
listen, Andrew, it's a great point because January is the month that everyone freaks out about Holtmann always because there's the January slide, quote unquote, which is honestly, look around the country. It just so happens that that's when you start playing conference basketball where the games are a lot tougher and the teams are better. But listen, if there was a month to not have a January slide, I'd love to be this month. I don't think the Big Ten is nearly as good as it's been the past few years, but you're right. If Ohio State wins 9 games of the Big Ten, they've already won 2. If they win 7 out of their next 16 games, they're going to be in the NCAA tournament. Like, this team has built a resume that can withstand any storms. They can weather any storm that comes up. It's just like, they're also not a bad team because they didn't shoot well for 12 minutes of the game. Like, they're still good.
They have 16 games left. If you just take out rankings, take out numbers, if they go 8-8 and they're 10-10 in the Big Ten with 20 wins, they'll be in or very close to in going to the Big Ten tournament, and they'll have a chance to guarantee themselves in. It was a much – I mean, we tweeted the other day. They made –
if they go 8-8, I'm going to – I don't know. They can't go 8-8.
Well, if they go 8-8 and there's like 10 other teams that go
– they can't
10-10. But –
if they go 8-8, if I have to go through 8 losses like that again,
if they get to 20, if they get to 20 wins and
in a normal Big Ten, the Big Ten is not that good this year. Purdue is amazing. Wisconsin is better than everyone thought they were going to be. If Terrence Shannon comes back, Illinois is great. Michigan State underperforming, but they're playing well. Northwestern is so, but they're just.
But wouldn't you say Indiana and Penn State aren't two of the good Big Ten teams, and they've already lost?
They're bad, and we lost.
Right.
Them.
Right. So I'm saying just based on what they've already done, if they went 500 in the Big Ten the rest of the season, 8-8, finish 10-10, there'll be a handful of 10-10 teams around there. I'm not saying that will be like super exciting and we'll be screaming it's the best Ohio State basketball season ever. But when you look at the team, you look at the team last year, and I was saying is that take the rankings and opponents out of it. All they have to do is go 500 the rest of the season to basically make the tournament. So it's just like there's no reason to stress.
It's so ridiculous to talk about this.
I don't think so.
Oh, it's just like we're spiraling into like, we're like, it's not anyone's fault, but it's like, you know, we're trying to keep people from jumping off the ledge, like doomsday, like press the pin. It's like, no, like we shouldn't even have to have the counter. Of course they're going to go 500 in the next 16 games. Of course.
Basically,
they are.
All I'm saying is I feel like the absolute worst thing that could happen is they go 8-8 the rest of the year, and that would still put them in a good position.
Yeah, I mean, listen, there's a lot of basketball left. I'm my feelings are less of concern about the team and more of frustration because I don't like when my teams lose anyway. You know, like I want them to win so badly on the road. They haven't done it in a year. I want them to beat a team, Indiana, that I personally do not like. I don't like their fans. I have friends that went to the school. You have friends that went to the school. Like, we don't like when those guys are happy and we're sad. Indiana is having a down year. It's a game that on paper, maybe you shouldn't quote unquote win because going to Indiana, who's won national championships and won Big Ten championships, right? In theory, that's a really hard game to win. But this year, that was such a winnable opportunity and a game where if you win that, you're like sitting there at 3-1, like, holy cow, we have a favorable schedule. We can win the Big Ten. And they did. And it's less about wins versus losses and making the NCAA tournament. It's more about just like winning is fun. Losing sucks. And somehow Ohio State just always takes a step back in some way, shape, or form. Can't finish games strong. Didn't make shots last weekend. It's just so bizarre. And I just want it to be different. So hopefully they can get back on the right foot against Wisconsin, team that slows it down, shoots a lot of threes, great guard play as well. Steven Crowder, big guy, is so improved. I mean, Connor Skeezing, who barely plays, all of a sudden, I think he's coming back from injury. He had 4 threes in 12 minutes last game. Their point guard, Chucky Hepburn, is awesome. They've got A.J. Storrs, a transfer, who's incredible. They are playing really, really good basketball. It's funny because there are so many elements of Wisconsin that Holtman loves, like their discipline and their defense and their coachability and how hard they play. But then there's so much that's different where Holtman wants them to push and play so fast. And obviously more athletes on Ohio State versus Wisconsin, but it should be a really fun game. I mean, last year they came in two teams that desperately needed a win and they beat us. I always have a tough – Wisconsin has a tough place in my heart because they beat me on my senior night. So it's such another winnable game and a game that you just kind of – like you have to hold serve on home court now for Ohio State. You just have to win those games. And a game that gives you some – if we're talking about the NCAA tournament, it gives you some breathing room if you win that game in terms of what your seed looks like come March.
Yeah. All right. Last thing I want to say.
How about Andy Katz saying Ohio State's the third best team in the Big Ten 5 days ago, and then they play one game and now they're the eighth best team? Like,
well, that's exactly what we're talking about.
It's ridiculous.
Wait, I want to ask you this.
Yeah.
They have 16 games left. With your basketball knowledge, you've been either on Ohio State or around Ohio State for 9, if not 10 seasons now.
Okay? I've got no knowledge.
What would you put the over-under of wins at?
Big Ten wins?
No, they don't have any non-Big Ten games left. So well, of the 16 games remaining, I'm saying – what would you put the over-under at? I would put it at 9.5.
Am I Vegas making this line, or how many do they have to win for me to be a happy Ohio State fan?
No, I'm saying knowing what you know about the nature of the Big Ten, the nature of like what you think we know about this team and what we think we know about the rest of the Big Ten, what would be like a comfortable number that you would be like, I think they will win this amount of games or more, basically.
Yeah, I guess I'll phrase it this way. You could tell me if it makes sense, but if they don't win, you know, 10 out of the next 16 games, like you kind of said, I would think that the team has like declined in some way, shape, or form, whether it was an injury or they don't shoot or they haven't shot it as well or something is just wrong with the team if they don't win. Because I'm also factoring the fact that they have a easy schedule compared to other teams. So
right,
I would say if they don't win 10 out of 16 games, I would think that they are not who we thought they were halfway through the season.
Right. I think that's a fair thing to say. I would put the number at 9.5.
So the same thing.
Yeah. But I'm not saying like what would make me disappointed or make me reevaluate the team. I'm just putting what I think the line is of remaining wins, because it's also two. I mean, they're playing their last three games are Nebraska, Michigan, or their last four games are Michigan State, Nebraska, Michigan, Rutgers. We could be looking at all four of those teams completely differently in a month and a half.
Because right now Nebraska is great. Michigan State's on the rise. Michigan is terrible. Rutgers is bad. You know, like,
right. Exactly. And Michigan could win the next four games. And then you're like, fuck, Michigan's
good. In a month, it might be Michigan State's the best team not named Purdue.
Exactly.
Is on the bubble again. Rutgers is sneaky good and Nebraska stinks. Like, I mean, so.
Exactly.
But that's what people were saying. People were saying Ohio State's the best, second best, third best team in the Big Ten. And now they're worse than freaking Indiana, which
right, that's kind of why I'm saying like the 8-8 or whatever it ends up being, it's too hard to make a determination right now. However,
we're not in the prediction game. That's not what we do. We analyze
as we just did at the 20-minute Wisconsin preview.
Well, preview is not a prediction. You want my prediction? 73-17 Ohio State wins.
Wow. I actually think that'll be their record over the next 3 years too. 73-17.
Love that.
With all 17 losses being
this year,
being championships of preseason, midseason, postseason tournaments. So it's just going to be really successful.
So in for that.
Okay. Man, moving on. Moving on slightly. Still Ohio State, Michigan involved. Right as the clock strikes midnight on the college football season, Ohio State says, hey, we got this big-time running back transfer. Maybe the most disappointing Ohio State football season in a while. It is. I'm going to say it is the most disappointing Ohio State football season, despite it only being one regular season loss. Because in the past,
you lost to Mizzou.
In the past, I'm hearing you, but I'm not acknowledging it. In the past, when they've lost regular season games, they've done what Mizzou did in the past, which is maybe you lose a few regular season games, but then you finish on top in like a Cotton Bowl, and your JSN comes out of nowhere and going into the next year, you're hype.
And maybe you don't lose to Michigan. You might lose a regular season game, but you don't lose to Michigan.
But you know what I think is so ridiculous with college football? Is
a lot of things.
The way too early rankings for next year are Georgia, Alabama, Ohio State, top three. It's like it doesn't even matter what.
Football says eight.
Ohio State?
Yeah.
I saw ESPN's way too early top 10, and it was Ohio State 3.
I saw somebody put all the teams in tiers for next year. And like the rebuilding tier was like Michigan and Oregon, like guys, Washington, guys that lost their stud quarterbacks and stuff. And then Ohio State was in the powerhouse tier with Georgia.
I saw that too. I've seen a bunch of different things. I just do think it's funny that like these teams. Oh, so this thing that I see, this is ESPN. Okay. Georgia won. Everyone was just like, Georgia shouldn't have lost to Bama. They should have been in the playoff and they would have
won. Georgia's really the national champion.
Right. Georgia 1, Texas 2, Oregon 3, Bama 4, Ohio State 5, Michigan 6. Like, Missouri 8. Ooh. But it's just funny. It's like, no matter what happens, it's like, okay, we got to have Notre Dame in the preseason top 10 next year. We got to have Ohio State top 5.
Thanks.
Like Georgia and Bama, obviously they'll be in the top 5. Like it's just funny. You would think and any other sport, the second the season ends, it's like the champion is number 1 power rankings and the defending champion is number 2. If not flipped. Like going into this season, I bet the Eagles are number 1 in the power rankings.
How silly are rankings until you see a team play 3 or 4 times?
Well, nothing is sillier than the day after. the previous season when people are still in the transfer portal.
I will say, obviously, Michigan winning the championship sucked, but the fact that Ohio State fans were greeted to the new season officially starting and us getting the number one running back in the transfer portal, and people were like, well, we're the 2024 champs, so that's fun. Like, so far, we're winning, right? I feel like we're winning the season so far, so that's good.
Yeah.
I'm not in the right state of mind to discuss this stuff. I'm so upset that Michigan won just because, like...
I'm happy. It's fire. It's fire burning.
I will say, like, there was a part of me that I looked over at my parents. And I was like, maybe this is, like, really good for the rivalry. And then I was like, what am I doing? Like, that's not... I think Ohio State fans are one of the only fan bases in the Big Ten that does not root for the rest of the Big Ten. Like, I don't.
Nah, you root for like an Iowa against Tennessee.
I mean, in a harmless game, I'm talking about like meaningful football games, like,
yeah,
or basketball games, honestly. Like if in the preseason basketball, I root for the Big Ten because we need the conference to be strong and get more bids. But like once the NCAA tournament comes, like Michigan's the best example, but like if like Purdue against Fairleigh Dickinson, we were at the game. Who were we rooting for? Like, we were not rooting for Purdue, you know? So
yeah,
I don't know. It's just, it's interesting. But the transfer portal pickups are great. Like, I think Ohio State, it's so funny because like you said, the worst football season that we can remember as Ohio State fans, like Ryan Day enters a do or die sort of season where he is 100% retooled. Will Howard is better than CJ Stroud. If Travion Henderson is leaving, his replacement is incredible. We've bolstered the offensive line. We have the receivers coming back. We have the number one receiver in the country coming in. You know, we got the Cade Stover replacement at tight end. The defense is returning just about everybody, not named, you know, Tommy Eichenberg. You know, like, the pieces are there. It does give you a glimmer of hope when a week ago Ohio State fans were really, really sad, right? I mean, there is some hope. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. So I guess we'll see what happens there. But regardless, it sucks because the whole year is going to be Michigan fans being so happy that they won the national championship. But then Harbaugh is going to leave and the Ohio State fans are going to be happy for a little bit until Brian Kelly becomes the next coach in Michigan. And then it's like, all right, well, he's very hateable, but he wins a lot of football games. And it's like, maybe we do want John Harbaugh back there, or Jim Harbaugh back, or whatever the fuck his name is. So that's my rambling mind again. I just can't formulate sentences. I just keep going on tangents. I feel like I have a little bit of Frank the Tank, like just...
You do actually remind me a lot of him.
Like, I just want to spiral right now. Like, he just spirals. But
anyway. I do think it's funny about really every topic on Twitter. There's always arguments on both sides. But Will Howard, I've seen everything from, if he did it at K-State, imagine what he'll be able to do at Ohio State with these weapons, to, he did it at K-State, is he going to be able to do it at Ohio State? To, this guy is the exact same as Kyle McCord, yet he's a like Josh Allen runner. Like, it's just funny how little people really know.
I think because people know so little, including us who know probably less than nothing, we need to start calling him baby Josh Allen right now. Like, lean into it. When he makes mistakes, oh, that's why he's baby Josh Allen. He's mashing all the buttons. But when he is running over guys and has three rushing touchdowns a game, baby Josh Allen. I think we have baby Josh Allen, and our running back is, who could he be baby of? Name anybody. He could be. Yeah,
I definitely don't know. You want to give him a comparison? Because I have not watched enough film yet.
I just know he's unbelievable. I watched him against in the bowl game, and he was unbelievable. I can't believe he left. I wonder why he left. It's crazy.
They were going to be too good next year. He was nervous. He knew Ohio State was on the down and Ole Miss was on the up.
Sounds about right.
But yeah, it's going to be so much talking now in the offseason. And the second we see an Aaron Nolan practice clip, it's going to flip right away to Aaron Nolan over Will Howard. Will Howard is going to have the shortest social media leash in history.
I'm stating my case right now. I am team baby Josh Allen through thick and thin. You heard it here first.
I'm with you. I'm telling you, because of how the season went this year, the second he has a bad...
It wasn't the quarterback.
Yeah, but the second he has a bad throw, people are going to be calling for Aaron Nolan. It's the same thing that's going to happen when Flacco takes the Browns to the AFC Championship and then Watson's the starter next year. After one bad game, they're all going to be calling for Flacco, or they're going to be calling to draft Will Howard.
Ooh, I like the way you think.
Isn't it funny how it so quickly goes from this guy would be, do you think like schools at all look on social media and see when people are like, Will Howard would be a great fit for Ohio State. And then they're like, yeah, you know what? He's been on our radar too, but now we'll definitely take a closer look at him. Cause that happens so much when like week two, they'll be like, all right, Cam Ward, future Buckeye. And then like, it ends up happening. Obviously it didn't happen this year cause he went to the draft, but like the second, no one was talking about Will Howard to Ohio State. And the second he opted out, or the second he declared to leave, whatever the correct terminology is, everyone was like, Buckeye.
Buckeye.
And it happened.
Buckeye.
And same with the Ole Miss guy. It's just funny how that shit.
I think it's also the luxury of, again, being an Ohio State fan. In theory, you can get anybody you want, you know? Like, no one's saying, oh my God, Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, you're right. Because most of the time they're coming from those schools. Real quick on the bowl game, I openly said I was cheering for Mizzou. I was wearing Mizzou gear. I was with all my Mizzou guys, but it was just so weird. I was just so prepped for like a shootout or like a fun, great, exciting game, and it just like it was. It was like a car crash that you can't look away from an Ohio State point of view. I mean, every snap was for a loss. Every play was for a loss. Every run was at the most 2 yards. Every time Kleinholz, whatever his name is, every time he
got back to the
center,
going to die.
I mean, it was so like, yeah, I was pumped that Mizzou won. It was super cool. That exclamation Luther Burden touchdown was great, but It was weird. It felt really weird.
Not to nitpick your win, but like, didn't you almost want, obviously you're not going to apologize for winning, but you, as a Mizzou fan, you were like, oh, I wish we could have beaten like a competent Ohio State team.
Yeah, but they beat them. They just beat them up so bad that even though the final score was only 14-3, like that fourth quarter was just pure domination.
It was so weird. I mean, I was sitting there watching the game and I was like, when? Either we're going to lose by 100 or win by 100. At some point, something's got to happen. And then
it was ugly. And then the fourth
quarter. Poor Devin Brown. The dude just, I mean, finally gets his opportunity and gets hurt right away. I mean, like, that was a bummer. But.
Yeah.
Just a tough run. Hey, this is the first, like, tough run as an Ohio State fan since last year.
Oh, wow. Oh man, what can you do? What can you do, right?
We'll survive.
Was there anything else I said we were going to talk about? I feel like I said a bunch of stuff.
Gosh, if we didn't cover everything, I mean, my head hurts. If we didn't cover everything, then I don't know.
We'll get some guests on soon.
Yeah, we're...
Ooh, one more thing. I'll just say it real quick, and then we can be done. It's actually a question to you, so you're going to need to respond. If Vrabel gets fired week 15, is he the Ohio State head coach right now?
It's almost like the Titans knew that if they wanted to wait to fire him until he couldn't be the Ohio State coach. He will get another job in the NFL if he wants it. I think that who wants to go to college after an NFL coach? I don't get that, but if he doesn't coach this next year, I think it's because he has been almost guaranteed the Ohio State job next year. You know what I mean?
I always hear the who wants to go to college once you're in the NFL, but do the NFL guys really listen to you. You know, it might be a he may.
No, but you don't have to recruit.
Right, but he may be at the point now where he's like, these guys just don't listen to anything that I fucking say outside of like plays and schemes and stuff like that. And he may be thinking back when I was at Ohio State, you know, I had guys buying into my bullshit and this and that.
I think he's Vrabel, so I think guys respect him and listen to him, like guys love him. But I do think there's an element of to be successful. Like Nick Saban is not calling plays and calling the defense. Like he is delegating everything and he is the CEO of the company and he recruits and he makes sure every duck is in a row and all the I's are dotted and the T's are crossed and they go win championships. Like Vrabel knows that, you know, he does not, it is going to be a lot of hard work, but he knows it's not like, he doesn't have to perform miracles.
He's not the OC at Louisiana Tech. He's being hired, as you said, the CEO of a major company. You do a lot of work. You make a lot of big decisions. But at the end of the day, you're gonna have people lining up at your door to come. You're gonna be recruiting the number one player in the country instead of taking the number five receiver in the country who committed to you months prior. But I don't think it matters because of the stage that it's in. I do think though, if they didn't get this Ole Miss guy, if Will Howard hadn't transferred, if they were just like sitting at the same place they were like when the Mizzou game ended, then there could have been some movement. And that's not me saying one way or another what I think about Ryan Day. That's just what I think would have
interesting. No, it's such a great
would have happened.
So interesting. I don't know. I listen. Ryan Day knows it. With the new AD coming in, with the lack of success against Michigan, like it's do or die time. So does that mean Vrabel's an option? Maybe it is, maybe he isn't, but like, I don't know. It's exciting. Like when is Ohio State ever underdogs? Like this is an underdog season coming up for sure. They're not going to be like the
preseason top five.
Well, maybe they will be the preseason favorite to win the Big Ten, but not really with all the new teams coming in. It's really interesting. So we shall see. What an episode, Andrew. Holy shit. Did we? Wow.
Packed in.
This is. I'm overwhelmed.
Wow. We got Mizzou, Kentucky tonight on ESPN. That's pretty fun.
We also have the hold on. I don't know what my team name is in my men's league game. In my men's league. Hold on. My team is called Hot Sauce. We have the Hot Sauce opening night tonight. Let's play guess the stat line, Andrew. Over under, we'll set the over under at points at 9.5. First time this team already existed before I got here, they did well. I'm coming into a new team, I gotta learn my role. Okay, I'm not gonna be chucking up shots. And we'll do the over under 1.5 or 3 pointers made. They're not like long games, like you know, it's not like 100 points are being scored. What are you taking the over, the under? You have any idea of what my stat line's going to be? Like, whatever. Throw it out there.
I've played in a lot of these men's league games, and very few of them did I score less than 10 points. So, I mean, I guess if this is truly your first game.
It's like my fourth game of basketball in the last 2 years.
If this is truly the your first game, then maybe you struggle a little bit, but once you get back in the groove, you'll be in the 15 plus range. I promise you that.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it'll be fun. Andrew's missing his basketball game to go watch Jay Sean Tate and the Houston Rockets tomorrow.
No, there's no game.
As you're listening to, so shout out to Andrew, shout out to Jay Sean Tate, shout out to Connor Cashaw, shout out to Jaquan Lyle, who is JT's right-hand man. Ohio State fans know that name very well. Shout out to EJ Kushner, JT's agent. Shout out to Scott and Nancy Lane for listening to the end. Shout out to Josh Schaffner. We love you, man. We miss you. Well, hopefully we see you soon. And one last reminder about Butcher's Tap for the live show coming up in a few weeks before the Northwestern game. Should have some fun guests, at least one fun guest, we're hoping. So make sure to tell your friends, tell your dogs, you know, tell your family, all that fun stuff. So. Got a lot of fun stuff coming up, even though it sounds like there's nothing to be happy about.
Buckle up. Drive the lane.
Go Buckeyes. Beat the Badgers.
I actually think we won't talk before Monday, Michigan.
Beat the Wolverines and the Badgers. But we take this one game at a time, and all the focus is on beating the Badgers. Once we beat the Badgers, then we focus on beating the Wolverines.